When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today on the Soda Pod, we're jumping right into the Hoppy Hour. I got a special beer on tap dedicated to my co-host here. Excited to share with you all. We're also going to talk a little Minnesota Wild talk, preseason and prospect talk in particular. And then we'll end off the show talking, you guessed it, Skol Vikings, baby. We'll preview the game and maybe throw in some reactions. We'll do a little time travel again and come back after the game and give some thoughts on it. All that and more in episode 207. That's right, 207 of the Soda Pod. Let's go. From the wildwoods of Vancouver Island, welcome to the Soda Pod. Isha Droma here alongside the State of Hoppy. And thank you for joining us wherever and whenever you are listening. Hoppy, I'm still buzzing from two things here. From that awesome interview and podcast we did with Lupulin Brewing. Shout out Mike and Justin. And from UFC 266 last night. It's been a great few days here. How are you, man?
Man, I'm doing great. We've finally got, even though it's in small doses, we've got hockey back, which is wonderful. We're sitting here recording on a football Sunday, which is always great. And actually hit up a couple breweries that we'll be talking about in the Hoppy Hour. But I'm just going to hit the pause button here real quick. I know you've just been absolutely giddy, buzzing about UFC action on that, what you tell me is a legendary Saturday card. I'm just giving you max 5 minutes here. Say as much anything as you want about UFC, and then we're turning the page. No more UFC.
Yeah, well, for those who are fight fans as well, I mean, I was tweeting a little bit more so towards the end. The more beer I drank, the more I tweet on UFC, apparently. But we have some Soda Pod listeners and just like Minnesota Wild Twitter folks who are huge fight fans as well. Some, you know, train MMA and have, you know, or have their belts in jiu-jitsu and whatnot. So it was cool to just interact with them on this sport. I'm not going to go through like the entire crowd. I'm just going to highlight some of the things that I was super pumped about. I was like texting Hoppy and he like doesn't know what I'm talking about, but he's like, oh, you seem pumped, so it must be good. Giving me like the flame emoji on my DMs there. But I think one of the best fights in the prelims anyways was that Marlon Morales and Merab. Oh man, I can't even say his last name. Devalshivili. Anyways, he was the one who like,
I'm already way more into UFC now.
I didn't know much about him going into this. I knew a lot about Marlon Morales, of course. And early on, Marlon just like put it on this guy, like rocked him a few times, but then just couldn't finish it. And Merab came back and just showed that dominant wrestling and just pretty much grounded pound and just beat the shit out of Marlon after that. And what was crazy is Marlon wasn't really defending himself when, you know, he had Merab like on top of him, just feeding him shots, or even like when they got back up to their feet and were standing up and exchanging. Like, I think he had like 30 like shots land or 30 hits land in like the first round, and then after that it was like zero. There were no attempts or nothing, and the ref couldn't really stop it because he was kind of defending himself. Like, he put his hand up and he was moving, but like we already knew like at the end of the second round, or like second round here, that like Merab had this one in the bag. And it was just like the switch from being rocked to just like pure fucking dominance. Really not one of the best prelim fights out there. I mean, Dan Hooker did an unbelievable job as well. Unanimous decision. That one was really easy call. On the main card, I mean, Jessica Andrade is a fucking tank. Like, one of just a stone cold killer. Wrestling is good, but on her feet, she's just, her timing's unbelievable. What's interesting about the flyweight women's division is that Valentina Shevchenkov is like, she's unreal. She's defended her belt 7 times now. Even just watching her fight, like her stance, very like Lyoto Machida-esque, like almost like a karate, like just a traditional karate stance, but she's always like moving. She's always buzzing. No one can defeat her. I mean, she destroyed the top contender Lauren Murphy last night in just like an absolute put it this way, Lauren Murphy like attempted 30 strikes in the first round and she got three of them. Like Shevchenko just absolutely annihilated her. Shevchenko just beat Andrade, right? And we were all kind of one, like hoping, I think, the MMA community that if Cynthia Calvillo would beat Andrade, then okay, there's finally another contender for Shevchenko, because I think everyone kind of thought that she was going to destroy Murphy, which she did. But since Calvillo lost like handedly to Andrade, it's like, do we set up another matchup with Andrade and Shevchenko? Do we put Shevchenko up for Nunes and have that third bout? Like, again, I don't know. That would have to be a catchweight. But just truly outstanding to see like Andrade like absolutely dominate. And then Shevchenko wasn't even a thing. I could go off about Nick Diaz. I'm not going to. It was, I don't want to say like embarrassing, but it was sad to see. I'd hoped he would have prepared a little bit more. Now there's a bunch of things behind the scenes apparently where he fired his manager right after this fight was booked. He didn't want to fight so soon. He wanted a little bit more time to get his body into shape, and it surely showed. He was slow as hell in the rematch against Robbie Lawler, but still made the first round of fight. It was scrappy. It looked like a street fight, and he fucking won the round. But yeah, got a TKO and just kind of gave up there on the mat against Robbie Lawler. And then the main event, the last thing I'm going to go off about. I was telling Hoppy and just like all my friends, and I've been looking forward to this fight for almost a year now. It was supposed to go down in May, but then Alexander Volkanovski got COVID. So he comes back from COVID as an awesome camp. Ortega and him do the Ultimate Fighter coaching against each other. And this was as advertised and more. Fight of the year lock in my mind. And round three was round of the fucking century. Like Brian Ortega, Hoppy, he's the number one contender. Jiu-jitsu guy first and foremost, but he has a face of fucking steel. Like he can just take a beating and is not afraid to box with boxers and Muay Thai guys, even though like again his guillotine locks and his triangle chokes are like second to none in the UFC right now. Alexander Volkanovski, a very short fire hydrant type former rugby league star who was 205 pounds in rugby league and competes at 145 in the UFC. So he's just like such a strong individual, great wrestling, great just boxing and just overall mixed martial arts. He doesn't really thrive in any area, but we saw a display of all martial arts last night in that fight. I mean, Ortega got him in two of his signature submissions. He got him in the fucking guillotine. He got him in the triangle choke. After he was losing that round, Volkanovski gets out of it, proceeds to beat the shit out of him. The next round, Ortega can barely even speak to the ring doctor and the referee when he's asking before the round, like, how many fingers am I holding up? Can you see? He's just like, huh? Oh yeah, like four, three, whatever. Goes out there and wins the fucking round. In the fifth, he's gassed. Volkanovski takes it, but like an unbelievable exchange of like respect after, where these guys were like going at it, you know, trying to hype the fight up and whatnot. And it was just unreal. I could see them having a rematch down the road. I mean, Ortega did everything he had to get to that spot. And Volkanovski, for how many people hate on Alexander the Great Volkanovski for him narrowly beating Max Holloway in their rematch, he's the fucking champ for a reason. Three title defenses now against, you know, arguably two of the best flyweights in the division. Holloway, one of the best of all time. So anyways, there's my spiel. UFC 266 was an unbelievable card and event, worth every penny that I had to pay in fucking Canada, because I had to buy TSN to access the prelims. I had to buy Fight Pass to even be able to buy the fucking pay-per-view. So at the end of it, it was like 100 and some bucks, worth every fucking penny to see that fight of the year.
Only in a minute and a half over. Wow.
Hey, not too bad. I know I saw you do your arm and I was like, I gotta finish my rant here, but that was it. That was it. I went off a little bit more on the prelim fight than I thought, but I love seeing amazing fights in the prelims, you know, because there was, I didn't even talk about Curtis Blaydes, right? And that was one of the top card fights, heavyweights.
No, this is not acceptable, Isha. No, you are finding a way to maneuver additional time over the 5 minutes.
I'm done. I took it off my outline notes. It's over. But
now I can... That just gave me such an appreciation for how some of my friends feel when I talk about hockey. Like, I totally get it now. I'm glad that you're hyped about it. I hope one day that I can watch UFC through a similar lens, but majority of that was gibberish to me. Hopefully a couple of the listeners enjoyed it.
That I've gone over. That's what, 9 minutes now into the podcast. we'll dive into some beer talk and then hockey talk here momentarily. Just want to give a reminder to everyone, if you haven't already, subscribe to the Brewery Travels podcast, a new episode every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts from, produced by yours truly, the Soda Pod. This next week's going to be a lot of fun. Kansas City, if I'm not mistaken, Phoenix was last week. Unbelievable podcast there. Check them out, the Brewery Travels podcast. Hit us up on Twitter and Facebook at the Soda Pod. Totally interactive. Yeah, I'll talk UFC and MMA with you. You can leave a text or voicemail at 612-324-1684 as well if you want to send us your wild takes, some of your good choices. We love hearing from our listeners on the Soda Pod. The Hockey Podcast Network and the Soda Pod is proudly powered by DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use promo code for this month, TPPN, for sign-up bonus and weekly deals, helping out our friends at the Pigskin Podcast Network as DraftKings just jumped on board as their official sponsor and partner. We want to give them a good month, a little boost out of the gate. So again, I know you're used to using promo code THPN for unbelievable deals. For this month of October, well, I guess it's September, before the end of September in the month of October, plug in TPPN for some amazing NFL and even UFC deals. On the other side, let's dive into the Hoppy Hour. You're listening to the Soda Pod presented by the Hockey Podcast Network.
First, I'd like to propose a toast to UMD goaltender Alex Stalock. To Stalock!
To Stalock!
I love that stuff. Been drinking it for years. You know, I heard they recently decided to add more hops to it.
Oh, you're all hopped out?
All right, Hoppy, this one's for you. Admittedly, I actually didn't go buy it because I wouldn't spend my hard-earned cash on anything pumpkin spice related, which is funny because pumpkin pie is my favorite pie, one of my favorite desserts. I could eat pumpkin seeds roasted for days, even with a little garlic. Oh man, they're so good. Hell, I'd even eat a pumpkin. I'd roast that sucker squash style and fucking eat it. But I hate the pumpkin spice stuff. Sorry if you're listening. Shane dropped by a pumpkin spice special because he heard the last podcast and was like, oh, here, listen to the last Soda Pod. You're talking about pumpkin spice beer. And he brought me a couple of beers. But this one, Hoppy, from a great brewery. So though I read the description of it being an Imperial Amber Ale, which I usually like, but brewed with pumpkin, nutmeg, cinnamon, ginger, and cloves. Again, I like all those things, but not in this one package. The Howie Sound pumpkin spiced ale. There it is. Howie Sound, typical can art. Nothing crazy. Nothing underwhelming. It's an interesting can, too. It's definitely like one of those wrapped stickers on the can, but it's a matte sticker, so it actually feels like... pretty interesting, pretty good there. Some nice grip with the can. It's a strong beer coming in at 8%. Howie Sound Brewing from Squamish, BC. Shout out to all of them. They make some unbelievable stouts. Howie Sound.
Extra grip on the can so you can't chuck it away because it's pumpkin.
Dude, that's how they get you. Yep. As advertised.
And everyone probably knows pretty well by this point my opinion on pumpkin in general.
It's fucking spicy. No beer should be spicy, okay?
There's a time and place for spicy. It's just got to be done the right way.
I wonder if Mexico has like a chili type of beer, because I love all those chili Mexican candies. I'm crazy. I love that shit. Maybe I'd like that beer. I don't know.
You should. Jalapeno cream ales are incredible.
I have never heard of such a thing.
They are incredible. When you visit, I already know of two or three that you should probably try. It is delightful. And actually, one of them I'll be talking about here in a minute. But first, on the pumpkin spice thing, again, I couldn't be more anti-pumpkin PSL bullshit. But my wife, being female, is a big fan of the PSLs. That's just... kind of something you
apparently
sign up
that's
for.
A thing, okay? And like, apparently, no, yeah. Judgment to any gender here, but like, what the hell, women? What is it? What is it about the pumpkin spice
latte? I think it's because they don't want to be left out. It's a FOMO thing. They don't get it either, and they're just like, well, everyone else seems to like it, so I'm gonna have it. And
I feel like that's whatever. How Starbucks just runs. I feel like that's their MO.
Well, you know what, I need to shout out quick though to the unofficial Starbucks spokesman, Michael Russo. We're begging for help here. I went out, did my Sunday morning grocery run, because that's basically how I justify spending my day watching football and doing podcast things on Sundays. And the one request went to Hy-Vee and Egan, and they have a Starbucks in store. Get up to the register. The only ask, only request from my wife was get me the pumpkin cream cold brew, a venti, of course. And I get to the register, and there's just a tag there that says, sorry, I'm out of pumpkin. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I can't win. I can't get a win here. And my wife is begging Russo, please put a word in with your friends over there. She's actually recently converted. She's a lifelong caribou lover. And last like 5-6 months, I think she's been a lot heavier on the Starbucks kick. This is not a great endorsement. She's not thrilled. She needs that pumpkin. Again, I'm kind of happy it worked out that way, but please, please, Russo, figure out what's going on. Get Starbucks in line. You're the only one that can.
Hop, you didn't just go to a different Starbucks? Like, this is America. There's probably like 4 just around the corner, no?
You think I'm going to make that many stops on my way back when I timed that out very well, sir.
For the love of your life, you gotta make some sacrifices.
Buddy, I timed it out perfect to get back just in time for football. There was no room for extra stops.
Oh, hey, you got to do what you got to do.
Hey, we figured it out. But obviously was able to get brownie points in beforehand. Actually went to a brewery with her on Friday night, took the dog. That's always apparently a big sticking point for her. Went out and visited our friends at Unmapped in Minnetonka. JD, God bless you. You finally fucking listened to me, you beautiful bastard. They finally, Isha, for the first time, brewed a peanut butter beer. It is a Nutter peanut butter porter.
Oh, I love the name. Love their cans.
Yeah, and this is actually new branding for them, too.
Cool.
So that's the first time I've been in the tap room since they did their rebrand. A lot of that kind of occurred through COVID. Got some new artwork along the walls. It's pretty cool brewery as a whole. Big open tap room. That's where I've actually played in a couple different seasons of their shuffleboard league.
Right, of course.
Really cool outdoor patio area. And they had an incredible, incredible food truck there. That's maybe my favorite food truck now that I've had in Minnesota. It's called Bad Rooster. Might be the best chicken tenders I've had. And I am a die hard supporter of Raising Cane's. These are better. So
big chicken tender guy. That's good. I like them too.
Oh, they were delightful. And, but anyone that hasn't been out to Unmapped, I highly recommend it. Their beers are great across the board, but they finally got this peanut butter porter. And it looks
beautiful. Oh my God.
It stacked up. That's all I can say.
Fuck you, Hoppy. I'm here drinking this pumpkin shit. I mean,
that was
Shane,
my choice. That was my
Shane,
choice.
Shane, I appreciate the sentiment. Don't get me wrong. You bring me beer, I will drink it. I will talk about it. I will give you a shout out on the soda pod. I do not, however, have to like them all.
No, that's fair. And I will say too, Unmapped, everyone knows that like the standard that everyone's measured against is the Dangerous Man peanut butter porter. And I'd be shocked if anyone ever reaches it. I pray that the day comes, but absolutely top 5 peanut butter beer for me in Minnesota. So that list I don't have officially laid out yet, but they would fall somewhere in there. It's a great beer, a little bit sweeter than the one that I sent you, Isha, and the Dangerous Man peanut butter porter, but it's not one that's like overly like sugar dump, right?
But that's what makes Dangerous Man so unique is like they made it a great beer and didn't have to sugar it up.
Right.
And you know, again, the one out here by Dead Frog, the Nutty Uncle, it's a very, very good beer, but again, it's a chocolate peanut butter porter, so it's implied it's going to be really sweet. So I went into it kind of knowing that, and I enjoyed it. It came as advertised, right? But if it's just a peanut butter porter, I kind of now Dangerous Man set the bar of like, it shouldn't be, you know, that sweet.
Right. And that's going to ruin some of them for you for sure. But again, there's definitely time and place for the sweeter ones.
Of course.
But if it's going to be my regular go-to, again, Dangerous Man has far and away set that standard.
I don't know if it was placebo effect or not, but I feel like the best beer drunk I ever got was from Dangerous Man.
There we go, baby. Then on Saturday, went out and met a buddy at his new place in St. Paul, literally right across the bridge from like XL, that whole area. So that's going to be something I probably abuse this season. but also walking distance from a great, probably under highlighted brewery in Wabasha. And really cool, smaller, more basic type tap room, but they have a big open parking lot vibe, kind of like, you know, the one that we've highlighted so many times with Back Channel. Not quite that big, but they had all the fire pits going. They were going out and pretty consistently having employees restock the wood. They even had a cigar rolling station, so naturally we obviously hit that up. It's so funny.
That's amazing.
And the guy like was trying to kind of like sell us and stuff, like here's the different tiers, and like we're talking about it and finally decide which ones we're gonna buy. He's like, oh wait, I also have this one under the table. This one's a real Cuban. And I'm like, I know you're lying, but it's $20. Sure.
Yeah, I'll like, buy a real Cuban for $20. Right. Hell yeah.
Right. And you know what? I don't care what it was or wasn't. It was still a solid cigar and like 20 bucks. That's not bad. I'm usually more like in the $7-$8 range if I'm getting one. But hey, out with a couple buddies, had a good time. Awesome. And I don't know. Big fan. But the one that I had there that, again, stands out to me, Isha, they had, again, every beer that I had was pretty solid. Just depends on what your style is. But I love their Jalapeno Cream Ale. And really what it is, when you drink it, Isha, you get like that little, it's almost more like the flavor and taste of a Jalapeno. Like it's not like super spicy. And then you get a little afterburn at the very end. But like, I think it's just such a good, like clean flavor. Be a great thing to mix with like a Bloody Mary, right? Have that be your beer chase on the side. Like sign me up every time. Them and Jack Pine, as of now, unless I'm forgetting of one, those are like my top Jalapeno beers that I've had. I love how you're just like snickering over there at Jalapeno.
Well, yeah, well, it's because of the Trailer Park Boys. There's a scene where Ricky's just like, yeah, I need some Jalapeno chips. And Bubbles is just like, jalapeno. He's like, what? He's like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's like, Ricky, it's jalapeno. And he's like, I don't want jalapeno. I want fucking Jalapeno.
I don't want a large farve. I want a goddamn liter of cola. Oh, shit. All right. Kaprizov is probably a little pissed at how much beer talk we just had there.
He's not even listening to the Soda Pod anymore.
True. Great rundown, though, on beers there. Let's, I don't know, Isha, let's transition over and talk, because we finally have new things aside from the Kaprizov signing. Like, we've been doing a lot of speculation all summer. We finally have, like, actual substantive things that we can talk about here.
Yes, we have Minnesota Wild news. Let's just jump right into it. Before we get into, you know, training camp preseason, which is upon us, the Wild played a game against the St. Louis Blues. They lost in that game, but there are some good storylines to come out of it. But let's first talk about the news of the week. There are two new players, part of the captaincies, you know, since Zach Parise and Ryan Suter left. They sported the other A's. Joining Jared Spurgeon in that group is Matthew Dumba and Marcus Foligno, which honestly, Hoppy, I couldn't have chosen two better guys for the job.
That like just broke my brain for a second when you said Matthew Dumba. Like every time I've heard Matthew, it's always been regarding Boldy and it's Matt Dumba. So like when you started saying Matthew, I was just like, wait, who are
honestly,
we talking about?
I've been listening to a lot of Errol Hawani and he pronounces everyone's name by their full name, like Nate Diaz. He's like Nathan Diaz. And I was like, you know what? It's just starting to rub off on me, I think.
Yeah. And you know what? I think the best part of this, Isha, is like you saw some people that were kind of debating and arguing over who should get the A's. And I think that just speaks to the locker room they have, right? And that's a big piece of why, you know, Parise and Suter are gone. Guerin just didn't think that they fit the mold of what he needed for leadership in the locker room anymore. And he's pretty much erased that, turned the page, and he's moving on to the new chapter. So while I think you and I are both in agreement that Foligno was a shoe-in, if he didn't get an A, I would have been pretty surprised. But there was a good three or four guys after that for that second A that were worth considering. Am I a little surprised by the Dumba selection? Sure, not because of his leadership ability and what he brings and how much he means in the locker room, but just given the situation there where there's been talks about trade. He's only got two more years left on his deal. We don't quite know where that's going to go. It was a little surprising to me. I had Brodin kind of earmarked. I know a lot of people had Joel Eriksson Ek tagged for it, but again, not at all taking away from Dumba. I have no problem with this selection. I was just a little surprised when that was the pick.
Well, the thing is are Ek and Brodin vocal in the room? There's already one silent captain in Spurgeon. Like, let's be honest. I compared him to like the type of captaincy that I assume the Sedins had in Vancouver. Like, they don't need to say much. And when they do, you fucking listen, because they don't usually say much, right? Whereas Foligno, he's the rah-rah guy. You know, he's going to bring everybody up. And Dumba's going to tell it how it is, I think. And be like, you motherfuckers, yeah, I'm playing like shit, but you're also playing like shit, you know? And I think that's a great dynamic to have. I do agree with what you said there in that, like, the whole Matthew Dumba situation. Shit, he might not be on this roster long term. So, or maybe even at the end of the season. I know we say that every year, it seems like. But that is a factor. Well, it's not a factor to Billy Guerin. He's identified that this is the guy it should be. Ryan Hartman, low-key, was a player that I thought, well, why not maybe throw him in the mix as well? As he's a guy who I imagine has the utmost respect of the Minnesota Wild locker room. And he does, you know, kind of fuck with the fans a little bit in a good way, you know, in that he'll like tweet or comment on Instagram every now and then and just kind of set Minnesota Wild fans ablaze too. So there is a connection there. Yeah. I really like Ryan Hartman personally, so maybe I'm just being biased, but I thought that was another name that could have been considered anyways for the A.
And, you know, I'm going to call this one ahead of time because I do think, like, low key, if Spurgeon, if Dumba, if Foligno, one of them gets hurt, misses any time, or God forbid there's a Dumba trade, I think low key, once he gets in and he's actually immersed into the locker room, has some time here, I do think a guy that we could see be like a temporary A is a guy like Alex Goligoski.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. I could see that as well.
It's just hard when he's brand new to the team and they've got so much of a culture established to be like, yep, you get an A right away. But I can see him slowly becoming that guy.
I think that the Wild probably should have identified how much, you know, Derek Felska is getting Wild Twitter like riled up and talking, that they probably should have just given it to Rask. Because then you know Derek would be tweeting and you know that, you know, Wild chatter would be just ramped up a little bit.
So I wouldn't even be mad. That would be the greatest troll move.
I know.
Ever.
I'm a little bit upset with the Minnesota Wild right now because of that. I mean, identify, you know, your strengths, you know. Derek's definitely one of them.
I love it. Now, pivoting from that, let's talk. We don't need to break down the preseason game. Again, at the end of the day, like, they are preseason games. The purpose is to kind of try things out, see where people are at. It's the first one of the year.
I've learned the hard way to put too much, like, just time into preseason games. As a Canucks fan, I've been brokenhearted way too many times with, like, the Braubarian and so on and so forth.
Yep, and I think we can really trim the genesis of this down to two pieces, Isha. I imagine you'd agree. It's looking at Beckman.
Yep.
And it's looking at Greenway. And obviously, column A is positive. Column B is negative. I'll let you lead in with the positive since I'm the negative asshole here.
Yeah, well, I do want to say that they are big swings on the scale. Like, it's a positive, but it could quickly become a negative. And on the negative side, yeah, it's a negative and it could quickly become a positive as well because it's the fucking preseason. But the positives, Adam Beckman, good Spokane product out of the WHL. He's looking great. He's doing what, you know, is in his skill set, what he set out to do at the pro level, and that is score goals. He scored the only two goals for the Minnesota Wild in that preseason game, and he looked pretty damn good. I don't know if I expect him to make this team, you know, when all things are said and done this camp. What I will say is that he's going to be one of those call-ups if there's an injury. And what I really hope, Hoppy, is that he does get all the rope this camp to make that team if he can, but also is given a ton of trust in the AHL. And realistically, he's going to have an AHL season. What I want to see from him is light it up. Like, we're talking 70, 80 points and like 25 to 35 goals. And then he's showing everyone that, look, I can score goals in junior. And he's not the biggest guy, right? So scoring that many goals in the dub is a very great thing to see for a prospect. And then coming into the AHL full-time and being able to show off that craft, score goals at that level, then Wild fans of the Minnesota Wild can be like, okay, this kid's for real. Because this year, the book's sort of out on him, and we don't really need an ELC that there's question marks this season. We need an established ELC for the next season plus. And I think if Beckman has time to marinate this year and really show that he can score goals at the pro level, then he's a lock for next year, probably, when the Wild need cheap contracts on the roster.
Yeah. And to your point though, I do think he will be given every opportunity to make the roster. I just think
he'll be a final cut.
Yeah. It's going to take an absolutely perfect preseason, perfect camp for him to have that chance. And guess what? There's going to have to be a couple of people that really fall off. And That's a perfect segue over to Jesus Christ, Jordan Greenway. This is the guy that, again, has all of the potential in the world. We're just not seeing it consistently put together. Now, granted, this is one game. I'm not overreacting here to one preseason game, but shit, Dean Evason on his ass. And we know historically, Bill Guerin kind of on his ass too, right? Like, this is a guy that he's called out multiple times and said, we quite frankly just need to see more. And with him being in his last year of the current deal, RFA after this year, like, it's going to be pretty early in the season that Guerin's going to decide either this guy's part of the team or he's not. Because at that point, you need to move him, get what you can back, because someone is going to look at him. The physical specimen he is, like everything that he had coming into the NHL, it's a guy that someone will try and give a second chance. Now, is it going to work out well, poorly? Like, are we going to see what we saw in Florida with Sam Bennett? Like, probably not.
18-year-old Sam Bennett.
But that's the vision that people are going to be grasping onto. But he needs to really step up and show something, not in preseason, like I'm past that, but first month of the season, if he doesn't show up and do what he needs to do, I don't see him lasting the season on this team.
Yeah, and Billy Guerin, Jesse Pierce commented saying that Dean Evason, like you mentioned, commented on his play directly, saying that Boldy and Rossi, who are his line mates right now in camp and preseason, have been playing very, very good. And Jordan Greenway, not so much. He needs work, which from the veteran, you don't want to see that. There have been flashes of really solid play from Jordan Greenway. Again, at his ceiling, he's exactly what you want in like a third or second liner or winger. That's what you want to see. Someone who can really push the pace, who has a little bit of skill, who has that fire, but you need to see it every night. Now, I'm asking you, Hoppy. Again, the hindsight's 20/20, but if the Wild could have dealt him instead of Kunin in that deal, do you think Kunin still has a spot on this roster and is going through the same sort of things?
I mean, it's possible. I think he's more... I like Kunin from the perspective of like the work and drive that he has, right?
Exactly. And that's he's what he brought opposite. Brought it every night, whether he scored or not. And that's what I liked about him.
Yep. But I also think that if he falls flat all of last year, let's just say Greenway again falls flat this year, I still think people are going to look at him and see more of a reclamation project than they Fair. Would with a Luke Kunin. But I mean, at the end of the day, that trade, I don't give a shit. I'm happy that the trade happened.
I know you are.
But yeah, man, like let's just talk like hindsight, right? Let's go the reverse. Let's look into the future. Let's look into not this coming season, but the following. Is anyone mad if our third line is Beckman centering Foligno and Hartman?
Not at all.
I think that's a really good fit.
And I think that line is going to score. Hartman will put up 10 goals. Foligno, I mean, shit, he may put up 10, 15 goals again. And how much does Beckman put up? Like,
we'll see.
He could put up 15 to 20 goals.
We'll see.
Because Hartman's skilled enough where Hartman's played center. You know, he could help him in setting up plays. He could be part of the play. I would love to see that line personally. And Foligno will give them both space. Not that Hartman, you know, needs someone to create space for him himself, but, you know, he's not a heavyweight.
Right. No, I agree. But again, there's a lot of opportunity for different wingers to step in and matter. And I just think Greenway is so easily expendable that if he doesn't come in and show up, dude's gone. It's not even up for discussion. But let's talk then real quick about really the only news that's come then from training camp. The first cuts, right? We've got Caden Banker going back to Kamloops. We've got Damon Hunt going back to Moose Jaw. We got Carson Lambos going back to Winnipeg. Kyle Masters. There. Yeah, right. That makes most of these make sense, right? It's just cool that they got to step in and experience their first bit of NHL camp. Kyle Masters to Red Deer. Pavel Novak to Kelowna. Ryan O'Rourke to Sioux. And then we actually have Bryce Mizley and Trevin Kozlowski both reporting to Iowa. Now, these types of things here that we're covering right now, talking the future of the Wild, talking prospects long term, little teaser here. Tomorrow, to those of you who are listening here on Monday of the Soda Pod, we actually brought in the best of the best. We truly believe that. someone that's going to handle all of your prospect needs, focusing, of course, on the Minnesota Wild, but really looking league-wide. And we're actually going to have a teaser episode dropping on Tuesday, some highlights of this person who's joined us in the past. It should more than get you excited for what's to come this season with them running every Tuesday with the prospect rundown. Isha, anything you want to add?
Hey, this new contributor, part of the SodaPod family, this episode every Tuesday, or this podcast every Tuesday, covering prospects league-wide and also Iowa and whatnot. It's going to be pure entertainment, and you're going to learn a thing or two as well. And we're so fucking thrilled to be bringing in this new contributor under the SodaPod family. That's enough of a tease. You'll listen on Tuesday, tomorrow, for those listening here on Monday, and you'll be fucking pumped as soon as you hear their voice.
Electric factory.
By the way, before we throw it to our last segment here, Hoppy, I just have to say, love this crop of prospects. Love them. How many WHL boys? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And to be honest, Oruk, he's a tough son of a bitch playing in the OHL, so I'll give it to him too.
Wow, I can't believe you admitted that. No, man, and like leagues aside, whatever, I can honestly say this is the first time that I've had any excitement around a Wild prospect pool. It's weird.
In Billy Guerin, we trust. On the other side, some Skull Vikings talk here on episode 207. I almost lost it. Of the SodaPod. Break.
Yeah. I'll be quick.
Honestly, since Hoppy's gone, actually, I'm going to sneak in some more fucking UFC talk, and you won't even know until he listens to the podcast. So, Volkanovski or Tega. First two rounds, I thought, and I even tweeted this, that Ortega standing for as long as he, and the first round, I don't blame him. Like, you want to box, you want to see what Volkanovski's made of, and you also want to take away whatever confidence Volkanovski may build through keeping the fight on his feet. And let's be honest, Ortega's boxing has gotten so much better. His striking is unbelievable. He looks Muay Thai-esque. Even though his reach was shorter than Volkanovski, being the taller fighter, it looked like he could pick his shots a little bit easier. And I thought he did hit Volkanovski with a few shots. Hell, in the third round, the shot that took Volkanovski down, I mean, it was a jab that sent him to the ground, and then fucking Ortega pounced on him and tried to implement his jiu-jitsu. And for me, overall, and I admitted this on Twitter, I was rooting for Volkanovski. I did not want him to lose the belt. It wasn't time for him to lose the belt, and I truly believe he's on another level than Brian Ortega. However, Brian Ortega is one of my favorite fucking fighters right now. I love jiu-jitsu. And this guy is a true mixed martial artist where jiu-jitsu is his back pocket trick. You know what I mean? And he almost took out Alex the Great with that, you know, back pocket trick where Volkanovski, again, was dropped. He was on the ground and Ortega pounces. When Ortega pounces, he doesn't pounce like a Tito Ortiz, a Randy Couture, an Alex Volkanovski. He pounces with jiu-jitsu. And I fucking love that. But again, it didn't work against the champ, who I think is just on another level. I truly believe it. Max Holloway is on another level. That's why Brian Ortega fell to him. And let's be honest, Brian Ortega, if he could have continued to fight, he would have. His face was so mangled. And shit, his face was mangled after the third round of UFC 266 when he was fighting for the title against Alex Volkanovski. It was an unbelievable fight. Like, I'm just still swooning and buzzing over it. Fight of the year, I mean, there are others you can make the argument that are there as well. But round of the year, that third round, like, credit to Brian Ortega, who took so much damage and then got a strike that he was able to pounce on. And Brian Ortega in the, what was it, the fourth round was setting the pace. He was marching to Volkanovski, who throughout the rest of the fight was the one kind of setting the pace on his feet. Let's be honest. I thought that was unbelievable. But that third round, man. He just could not, like, the guillotine and the triangle. Like, those are T-City specials. T-City fucking specials. And he couldn't get it done. Credit to Alex the Great. SodaPod listeners who follow the UFC, who do you want to see Volkanovski fight next? Is it, I mean, Max Holloway, he's, was it Yair Rodriguez he's fighting? I imagine he's going to win that one. If Yair wins, he's going to fight Volkanovski, and Volkanovski's probably going to defend the belt again against him. I think, honestly, I would like to see Holloway lose. And I never want to wish ill will, and I want to think Holloway is one of the best in the game. Do I think he's going to lose? No. I'd like to see him lose so that he can fight Yair. I would like to see Ortega fight Holloway again. And then the winner of that go for the fucking belt. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see. And I would love to see that. Shevchenko, does she fight Amanda Nunes again? I mean, this is the big question, because there's no one else at flyweight that can even compete at her level. I mean, Lauren Murphy, all the respect to her, has had an unbelievable run these last few fights, and she's looked respectfully dominant in all those fights. But other than Andrade, like, there's no one who's even close to Shevchenko's level. And even then, Shevchenko was on a higher level than Andrade and beat her at her own game. Fucking out-wrestled her. So I don't know. I think the only thing that really is possible right now, and it won't affect their titles, is a catchweight non-title bout between the best women's fighter and the two best women's fighters, and arguably the two best women's fighters of all time as of this point. And I think Amanda Nunes and Valentina Shevchenko, the Bullet, should fight. Hoppy's still so taking care of some business here. So I'll say one last thing. How about those fucking championship gold kits? Unbelievable. Shevchenko's like, I swoon because, like, I'm just in love with her. I've been a fan of martial arts, and I practiced martial arts when I was younger. And to see a woman with that just tenacity and just lovable aura to her, I mean, I got a crush. I got a crush on Shevchenko, okay? On Valentina, I'll be perfectly honest. But regardless of my just overall, you know, attraction to her both physically and as a fighter, unbelievable kit. Unbelievable fight kit. Now, like, obviously, Volkanovski's shorts were dope too. But, I thought... I'm a nerd when it comes to fight kits. Women and male athletes in the UFC and even Bellator and whatnot. I've always nerded out on them. And, like, some of the classics are awesome. Like, Silva's, BJ Penn's with, you know, the gi and the belt. Tito Ortiz with the flames. Chuck Liddell, the Iceman. Like, these are some awesome, awesome kits back in the day. I could go on and on and on, but I think I'll actually take a break right now because I hear Hoppy coming back.
Week 3 of football is in the books, and now it's time to review the tape and get ready for Week 4 with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off another action-packed week, DraftKings is giving new customers $150 instantly when they bet $1 on any football game. Listen up, because you don't want to miss this. Head to DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a bet of $1 on any game this week to receive $150 in free bets instantly. If Sportsbook is not yet available in your state or province, DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $150 in free bets when you place $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit on $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, last segment of the show. We're gonna be doing this more regularly as it is the NFL season, and the Vikings, though 0-2, they still have Hoppy's heart, and they're starting to get my heart as well. So we'll talk a little preview, as, again, when you guys are listening to this, the game will have already happened. We'll probably travel through time and give a little recap as well. But we wanted to touch on the game since we are recording Sunday morning prior to Seahawks-Vikings kickoff. Hoppy, I'll let you start this one off, sir.
Yeah, man, before we even talk Vikings here, we need to talk betrayal.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. So Q texted me this morning thinking it'll be, oh, cute, let's talk football, because he and I have done fantasy football together for a while. And he sends me a screenshot and he's like, oh, it's really fun betting like this because, you know, like I can do players that aren't on my teams and I can have a reason to watch some of these games. I'm like, yeah, cool. And I look immediately at the screenshot and it takes me like half a second to realize that this is not a DraftKings platform. We won't say which one it is, but he's just like, yeah, it's cool. I'm like, you son of a bitch. And I made him tell me like which one it was. And he realized right after, he's like, oh, oops. Yeah. I'll sign up for that one next. Don't worry.
Yeah, Q, but you better fucking TPPN, you son of a bitch.
I already texted him that and gave it a thumbs up. Man, but like literally the feeling that went through my body when that happened is he's like, oh yeah, look at this. It's so nice, isn't it? Like, fuck you, dude. Goes right to the episode of The Office. Anyone that's a follower will know which episode I'm talking about here, where the website is now selling paper and Dwight goes head to head with the website in trying to sell more reams. And Dwight all of a sudden realizes, wait, customer service, runs back, sees Kelly like clicking and she's like, oh, it's so great. It like dances and makes sound when you buy it. And he's like, Kelly, it knows what you've done. Just that level of betrayal where she is sabotaging what he's trying to do. Q, that's how I fucking feel right now. He's already kind of apologized. I expect a more formal apology will be upcoming when he listens to this. But you motherfucker, if you don't sign up with promo code TPPN within the next week, we're going to have some problems.
Yeah. We're going to make some good choices, Q. We'll just say that much.
Oh, baby.
Oh, man. I feel betrayed now, too. God damn it, Q. Hopefully some redemption when we link up for some more good choices.
We'll see. We'll see.
Q, you owe me a beer now when I come out there to Minnesota.
So now looking then at the Minnesota Vikings today, interesting position for Isha, who's slowly trying to become a Vikings fan.
I'm trying.
Grown up in a household where his father, and I'm sure a lot out there in the greater Vancouver area, are Seahawks fans because they're close in proximity. That's the matchup here today. There's obviously no love lost between these two teams. There's been some pretty pivotal moments in recent years between them. We won't get into any missed kicks or anything like that. Isha, just going into this, I mean, obviously conflicted. Like, how are you going to be watching this game?
I'm going to be watching this game just as a fan of the sport. You know, like, I'm not really going to get too invested. I mean, if the Vikings lose, I'm not going to be happy. But if they win, I'm not going to be, you know, too upset either. Like I said, I've been a Seahawks fan because my family's Seahawks. They're Seahawks crazy. My mom's American and all my family on her side is just south of the border, you know, in Seattle area. So they're all crazy Seahawks fans. My dad, again, proximity being in British Columbia and the West Coast for as long as he has, and just being an NFL crazy fan that he is, Seahawks are his team. But I do have a family friend. I do have a family friend who's a Vikings fan. And Agazi, I'm going to have to bring you on the podcast one of these days because he's an immigrant from Ethiopia, actually. And when he landed, there's a story to do with him like landing in Minnesota and having a connection with the city and the team before coming out west here. So maybe I'll get him to tell me the story. I'll bring him to tell the story some other time. So there is some sort of connection out here where I can go and hang out with fellow Vikings fans and get like, you know, pumped up. But long or the short of it, to answer your question, I don't really have a stake in this game overall. I'll root for the Seahawks when they're playing other teams, and I'll root for Vikings when they're playing other teams. But I think as of now, moving forward, when they clash, like I'm neither here nor there yet. And I'm conflicted on, you know, people say they're conflicted on Minnesota's quarterback. Like, I've been conflicted on Russell Wilson for a long time. Like,
why?
10 years in the league. He's solid. But it's less about me having a problem with him and just having him not having the right pieces around him to help this team succeed, especially in the last few years. It's either he's doing a lot of it himself, or he can't rely on those who are even just trying to catch the ball. So anyways,
how are you in any way conflicted on him then? It sounds like you're conflicted on the management of the team, not putting pieces around him.
Fair, but it's like one or the other. Move on from your fucking quarterback or actually build a team that will allow him to succeed. But anyways.
Minnesota Vikings fans listening to this right now are cursing your fucking name. You have a franchise quarterback, someone that the Vikings would beg to have on their roster, and you're sitting here like, oh, I don't know, the pieces aren't around him, so I don't know, just get rid of him.
One Super Bowl when there should have been two. Anyways, Wilson.
Oh, and that was his choice? We're going to blame him instead of Carroll? Really?
Again, pieces around him. Why the fuck is Carroll still here? The guy's like, what, 70-something now? I don't know. Anyways, he's almost in as good a shape as Metcalf for his age. I'll give him that. But like,
I can't believe we just had a conversation when people go back and forth on where Kirk Cousins sits, where you're like, I don't know, I'm conflicted on Russell Wilson. That my brain's on pause for a second. You can go ahead and say what you want.
Just a little couple stats I'm going to throw out there so I can continue to somewhat sound smart here on this podcast. 597 passing yards thus far is what Wilson has. 74.1 completion percentage, 11.1 yards per attempt, and 6 passing touchdowns in the last 2 games. His run game has been successful. Surprise, surprise. That's Russell Wilson in a nutshell. Especially against the Colts on 22 attempts, the Seahawks put up 131 rushing yards and 5.95 yards per carry average. What is not surprising is the passing game has suffered. This is all too familiar. It's like explosive or bust, lacking much needed rhythm. And again, the pieces around him against the Vikings defense, Wilson could be forced to pass more, which, you know, he probably doesn't want to do. Anyways,
I don't want him to. He's an incredible passer. Carroll just doesn't let him fucking do it.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I have no reason to like Russell Wilson at all. He transferred into Wisconsin, did amazing things there. Fuck you, Wilson. Goes to Seattle, who has had some bad run-ins with the Vikings. Fuck you, Wilson. I'm still sitting here telling you that he's one of the better quarterbacks in this league.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. But
you're just conflicted on him. You're just conflicted.
It's quote-unquote my team, so I can be a little critical, you know?
Oh, this is okay. So you understand why people go back and forth on Kirk Cousins.
Just 100%.
For no reason talking about look, why your quarterback.
Look, man, when the LA Kings got Wayne Gretzky, do you think fans just loved him because he was Gretzky? No, they ripped him apart for not winning a fucking Stanley Cup that year. That's just what sports fans do. Like
all 4 of them?
Maybe fans of not even LA, just hockey fans ripping him for not winning it.
Okay.
Look, all the respect to Russell Wilson. Again, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But
you're just conflicted. I get it.
I'm just conflicted. 10 years, 1 Super Bowl. Oh, pass the fucking ball. He should have just gave fucking Carroll the finger and have been like, no, Marshawn's running this shit.
Well, hey, guys, the line has moved since we went through our soda teaser for the week. Vikings actually ended before kickoff at +2. We're locked in with that +1.5, though, unfortunately, that we went with. Still, +7.5 on that last leg of our teaser. We'll be recapping all of that and the game here on the other side. Isha, let's hop in the DeLorean. Well, Isha, hopping out of the DeLorean is far more enjoyable this week than it was last. I think I say that on behalf of all Vikings fans. Again, you being the conflicted, neutral-ish, strange party, let's hear your thoughts.
I was actually pretty excited, and halfway through the game, I texted Hoppy, and I was like, oh yeah, the Vikings, they've got this one. And you were like, I know what you're trying to do. Shut the fuck up. So had a little fun with Hoppy there, as you know, Viking, Minnesota sports. It ain't over till it's over, right? Pretty impressed, to be honest. I thought Kirk Cousins, give him the thumbs up, did what he needed to do, played his role very, very well. This game, Alexander Mattison, he was outstanding. Justin Jefferson looking like the fucking veteran, the young player there. And the defense was great, as I predicted as well. So yeah, it was a fun game to watch. I was a little confused as to what the Seahawks were fucking doing throughout that whole game. But the Vikings took advantage of that. They didn't miss any kicks, and there you go.
Yeah, good Pete Sunday. Carroll having a couple meltdowns for sure, but to Isha's point there, thumbs up, thumbs down. Every week now, we are going to be dropping the Kirk Cousins reaction video. This is not for the Vikings. This is strictly Kirk Cousins' performance. We get the Joaquin Phoenix action in there. What are we going? We're going this week's absolutely thumbs up. Check out our video. We are just absolutely magical when it comes to video editing. Can't even tell that's not what happened in the movie. But seriously, every week we're going to be getting out there. We want to know everyone else's opinion too. Kirk Cousins, good, bad, what are we thinking? This week, I don't know what bad we can say. He did everything he needed to. And yeah, to your point, Isha, Pete Carroll seemed like he was on another planet, huh?
Yeah, that I don't know what he was trying to do out there. And going back to Kirk, I mean, he even tried to do his best Russell Wilson impression. He even ran on one play. I was like, holy, what's this guy doing?
Oh, man. And got a note, Adam Thielen, touchdown every game so far this year. That's Mankato boy, Adam Thielen.
From one purple jersey into another.
That's right, baby. Yeah, they back when they used to do training camp down at Mankato's campus, he must have just like snuck on and nobody noticed. And now here he is, stud.
That's awesome. And more importantly, our pick of the week, our teaser, one of our teasers
baby.
This week in a Vikings win.
Well, one of our legs of the teaser. Unfortunately, they didn't all hit. Let's do the rundown though, Aisha. Here we go. This is why teasers are typically sucker bets, especially when you do more than two of them. Because out of the four, technically five that I laid on you guys, we got four of them that hit. One took us down, but that's okay because we're going to come back stronger next week. So the teaser, we had the Buffalo Bills. They came in at -7.5. We teased them down to -1.5. Wasn't necessary. They obliterated 43-21. The sprinkle in that I had for the kind of alternate version of safe for the Rams, they were +1.5. I thought that they would win outright, and they sure as shit did, 34-24. Again, we didn't actually include them in the teaser, but since that's the other one I threw in, just thought we'd throw it in this discussion. The over under for Kansas City and LA Chargers, goddamn good thing we teased it, because we took it from 55 down to 49 and they hit 54. So that one would have hit. That would have been great. We'll circle back. I guess we might as well just throw it in. The bad news bears, too many points. It was not too many fucking points, because even at +10 for the New York Jets, we gave them another 6. Still covered by another 10. 26-0. Teddy B and the boys over in Denver, unfortunately. So we did lose our teaser this week. We're $10 in the hole on the year for betting. But again, advocate, devil's advocate, took the Vikings, who were underdogs. They came out and won it outright. We didn't need the touchdown and half a point to lock it. Again, Isha, as we keep going here and we do these bets week in, week out, hopefully eventually you're going to be able to jump in and be like, nah, man, fuck your bet. I like this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, give me another week or two and I'll get there.
Slow, young grasshopper.
Hey, well, an exciting end to the week here, or start of the week here, however you want to look at it, in Minnesota. Another segment that will be coming soon to the Soda Pod. You may be familiar with it from last season, but it is a completely new refurbished segment. Hoppy, please present it to our listeners.
Yeah, baby. We decided that with the fun of the segment we were doing on Sunday nights last year, we needed to roll this out full-fledged, especially now that there are 6, count it, 6 Division I programs for hockey in Minnesota. We are rolling out the MNCAA episode every Friday going through the college hockey season. We got a couple of good names locked in already for a couple of the teams. Still working on finalizing a few, but don't worry. As those come to head, we'll be sure to let you know. Please go and follow at MN_NCAA. Working, Isha's floating out $20 USD, which is a big deal for him. Try and get that handle of MNCAA back. But until then, it is MN_NCAA. Please go give it a follow if you have any kind of interest in following any of the 6 Minnesota Division I hockey teams. We're going to be bringing you content for all of them coming up here this season.
All right, that's it. That's the show. A little time travel there, Hoppy. Thanks to everyone who listened to this episode here on Monday. And again, listen Tuesday. We teased it. We have a new contributor under the SodaPod family and a new prospect /Iowa/ league-wide prospect talk every Tuesday here on the SodaPod feed. If you listen to the episode dropping tomorrow, again, if you're listening to this on Monday, you'll know exactly who we're talking about. So go check that out wherever you get your podcasts from, whether that's Google, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Look, the best thing you can do for us this week, any week, is to give us 5 stars and a kind review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. If you're jonesing for more hockey content, you want to hear what's going on around the rest of the league, check out our website, thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. Guarantee there's a podcast for you there. On your app, please download the episodes before you listen, as it just helps our business, as well as using promo code TPPN on the DraftKings Sportsbook app or DraftKings.com. Don't forget to follow myself at VI Sports Talk. You can follow the Soda Pod at the Soda Pod. You can follow Hoppy where?
At State of Hoppy.
And you can follow the Hockey Podcast Network at Hockey Pod Net. Signing off, I'm Isha Dromi alongside the State of Hoppy. This has been the Soda Pod presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. We good, man?
Sure.
Don't fear, just drink some beer. Stay wild.